And good morning to you. I'm Ellen Speer, and this is Morning Drive on Pittsfield Community Radio. We're delighted you're with us this morning. And I'm particularly delighted that our second district representative, Tricia Farley Bouvier, is with us as our guest. There's a lot going on in Boston right now, isn't there?
There is. Good morning, Ellen. I think you might have buried the lead here a little bit, Ellen.
What's that lead?
You should talk about how this is your inaugural show.
Oh, it's all about you. It's not about me.
This is really cool, Ellen Speer. This is really cool that you're doing this.
Well, I'm delighted to be here and delighted to be here with you. So what's going on in Boston?
Well, there's a lot going on. This is the calm before the storm. Everybody else is experiencing April vacation week, right? Kids are out of school, right? Hopefully families are having a nice time. People are out in their yards, and the House is getting ready for budget week. So starting early Monday morning, about 9 a.m. Monday morning, the House will open up debate on the House budget.
Well, with a mostly one-party system in Massachusetts, it's not that fractious, is it?
Oh, no, we do not have fractious. We just right now have complicated, right?
And what's the most complicated thing?
Well, right now, because we are so concerned about federal funding and where that is, what federal funding is going to come through this year and what is not going to come through, to try to put it into scale, we have about a $61 billion budget for the fiscal year that we'll be debating. About 15 or 16 billion of that is federal funds.
So are we in a position, is Massachusetts in a position to be able to weather that if it all goes away?
No.
What do you think?
I mean, well, let's put it this way. You put it different. Could Massachusetts weather it? We have no choice to weather it.
That's true.
Can Massachusetts make up for $15 billion of federal funds? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Just to put things into scale, we have worked very hard over the last 15 years to build up our rainy day fund, and we are at a record high, the best in the country, at $9 billion. That's our entire rainy day fund.
Yeah. So what do you think, which kinds of funds do you think are most at risk?
Well, we already know that, the NIH funding for universities has gone away. What does that mean for jobs, right? And so if those people aren't working, that's income taxes, right? And so we have, that kind of thing. But we're concerned about childcare money. We're concerned certainly about Medicaid dollars is the biggest amount of money that we could lose.
So people think that if Medicaid money goes away on the federal level, it will disappear on the state level. Is that true?
Well, most of Medicaid money is federal money, right? Now, the state pays a big portion of that. It's a really big portion of our budget. But the federal government carries now remember, the federal government is us, right? These are our federal dollars. These are our state dollars, right? So we want to be very careful. These aren't gifts from on high. But without that federal funding for Medicaid, what is that going to cut? So, for example, we need to still feed kids.
Right.
Now, we don't use federal dollars to feed children in Massachusetts. The Universal School Meals Program is funded through state dollars. It's actually funded through the Fair Share Amendment.
Yeah.
But if money were to go away in another program, we need to make sure we feed children. We need to make sure, elders are taken care of and are safe. Whether that funding gets pulled or another piece of funding gets pulled, we have to decide what priorities that we're going to spend on.
So your thought is that the state, just so people understand how it works, because it's a complicated thing, and I'm committed to let's get real information out there
sure,
so people don't have to be afraid and understand what's going to happen, where they can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for instance, Medicaid dollars stop, mm-hmm. and these stop and those stop, the state would then, all of you, not the
mm-hmm.
state,
yeah.
those of you who we've elected,
mm-hmm.
will decide what the priorities are for where state money should make up the difference.
Right. And so where can we make up the difference in the programs that are directly related to Medicaid, but then what other things are being impacted that we have to decide on? It is complicated, and I want to be clear, we don't know yet. That's what makes it so hard right now. We don't know yet what is going to be impacted, because there have been threats of cuts and then sort of taken back. And then there are threats of cuts, and then there are lawsuits to stop the cuts. And all these things are happening. And so we in the House, every April is when the House takes up our version of the budget. We can't make decisions based on what's going to be cut because we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Now, next month in May, the Senate might have more information. But the reality is, Ellen, I think we're really not going to know until like the fall.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then we're going to have to cut a budget. So we're going to go ahead as if
it's
going to be okay.
Okay.
With this kind of sinking feeling in our stomach that we're. The chances of us coming back and cutting is high.
So plan A with plan B in your pocket.
Yeah. Is
Massachusetts in some ways more vulnerable because we are such an outspoken state? I know that punishment seems to be something that we're reading about every day.
So I do think that we're vulnerable in that way, that if there's going to be some targeted cuts, then yes, we're certainly on a list somewhere. People might have heard that Trump and his Homeland Security chief is going after Boston. You know,
when
on
you
immigration.
Say going after Boston, what do you mean?
You know, he said we will bring hell to Boston.
Oh,
well, you know, that's a direct quote, and I mean, tweeted, and he was very proud of that. Mm-hmm. And he calls Boston a sanctuary city. Boston is not a sanctuary city. But, you know, Boston is friendly to immigrants and, you know, works with immigrants and supports immigrants as an as important part of the community. And, you know, people may have known that Michelle Wu, mayor of Boston, was called to testify in front of Congress with her 6-week-old baby.
Right.
You know,
only women do that.
Yeah, only women do that. And can I also say, apparently it was Ash Wednesday because she had her ashes worn probably on her forehead. She wasn't backing down about anything.
So we're talking about Boston, and we in the Berkshires feel like that's way over there. So what kinds of things should people in the Berkshires be looking for and thinking about in relation to
this budget?
How the legislature is going to look at spending our money this year?
Well, I think a couple of things highlights for Pittsfield. So I represent, you know, Pittsfield.
Yes.
In Pittsfield, we are fully funding the Chapter 70 reform. We call that
what does that mean?
Student Opportunity Act was a reform that we passed in 2019.
And what does that do?
And this reform placed an emphasis on need of the individual, the children that are in the school. So, best way to explain it, if you have one child in your classroom that has that's ESL student.
What's
or
ESL?
English as a second language and or has special needs or lives in poverty, that child is going to need
more
help,
stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you have 15 in that classroom, it's not 15 times more. It's exponentially more support that classroom needs.
Right.
Because when you educate kids with high density of high needs, it's even more complicated.
Yeah, it's times
and
effect.
So we have received over the last 7 years about $6 million more each year, like one on top of the other on top of the other. And so Pittsfield's school budget has done extremely well. And to be frank, and this is not, you know, other people in the county do not like this, Pittsfield is alone in the county in getting those extra funds because we are a gateway city, because we have that high level of need.
So school funds is where we should be looking in the Berkshires, where we're going to need extra help from Beacon Hill.
And we're getting it. What I'm saying is we are getting it. The good news, we are getting it. This is the second to last year. Next year, it's a 7-year rollout. Next year will be the last year of this new funding formula.
Okay.
And then there'll be more regular, like cost of living increases, not these big increases that we've been getting.
So this was kind of an equalization, if you will, through this act in a way to get funding to levels that it needed to be.
Right.
And now from here on, we'll continue.
Right. And then, you know, other places are saying, but you left us out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like North Adams.
Yeah.
There's a high needs in North Adams, yeah. but they don't have the same kind of enrollment as Pittsfield yeah. does. And so probably the next phase of this, we really need to take yeah. a look at communities
so
like that.
We're talking in the abstract here. What mm-hmm. does that mean? Does that mean whether a kid has breakfast or not? What does it mean? Give me a yeah. hypothetical kid. What are they going to get?
So the theory behind this
yes.
is that we add programs like family resource people in the schools so that families are getting what they need around food assistant, housing assistant, clothing assistant, after school programming for kids, extra help in the classroom.
So in Pittsfield, there would be more resource people that a parent or guardian could go to for kind of all of the services that that family might need for that child.
Right. That's the theory. Now, then you have to be able to really pull it all off, right? And so Pittsfield has had challenges meeting all the needs because at the same time, Pittsfield is really seeing what they need to do to retain staff. And part of that is raising teacher salaries. So yeah. Pittsfield teachers were not, you know, were more middle of the pack when it came to, or a little lower than middle of the pack when it came to pay compared to the rest of the county.
State,
and we've been able
county,
to.
Not state.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, definitely lower than the state.
Yeah.
But then we, you know, they have got an increase in their pay over the last few
yeah,
years.
Yeah. So you said the resources piece. What mm-hmm. else is a kid
so universal
get?
Preschool is a very important thing, and we're yeah. working very hard to get universal preschool into all of our schools. And there's great efforts on that in all different ways to do that. But that's one of the things the superintendent did early
yeah.
was to make sure there's a preschool in every school.
So there's money for that. It's just implementation
yeah.
now? Is
now
that what
it's
you're
implementation,
saying?
And it's pretty complicated, Ellen, because yeah. we already have preschools.
Yeah.
And what do they think about the public schools taking, you know, taking students? So we want to make sure in Pittsfield we have what's referred to as the mixed model of delivery.
Yeah.
Because some parents want their kids going to preschool for 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And other parents need the child to be cared for maybe from like 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. or 5:30.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's, there are different needs. And so we want to make sure that families have their needs met.
Yeah. So that's schools. What else in Berkshire County in terms of federal funding?
Well, when it comes to federal funding and those kind of cuts, I guess, so I want to, when it comes to the budget, I want to point out one more thing, and that is the Chapter 90 money. That's not money for roads and bridges and sidewalks.
Oh, right.
And there is a new proposal out to increase that by 50%.
Didn't Governor Healey
yeah,
has
Governor
been talking about infrastructure
yeah,
quite a bit.
Yeah, that's right. And so that, again, is a result of the Fair Share Amendment. People remember that we voted for that, and that's an extra 4% surtax on income over $1 million annually. That has generated now $2.3 billion every year.
So is the Berkshires getting enough of the pie?
No.
you would never say yes.
Well, no, and that's that. I have a particular problem right now these days. I don't think at all that we are getting our fair share. This is called the Fair Share
okay.
Amendment.
What percentage do you think we are below what we should be getting roughly?
Well, I think so. It's this money is spent programmatically, so it's harder to say percentage wise.
Okay.
But for example, a few weeks ago, the House voted on the governor's proposal for what's called the Fair Share Sup. Oh my God, this is sounding so boring, Ellen. But basically,
we'll make it fun.
Okay. There was extra money.
Yes.
From the Fair Share Amendment.
Okay,
and so
and this is the just to remind everybody, the Fair Share Amendment is this big pot of money
for that,
Berkshire County.
No,
for the state.
For the state from that 4% extra on the million dollars.
On the $1 million.
So we
right.
set that money aside.
Okay.
It's in its own fund. Doesn't get mixed in with the other fund.
So you're competing for us along with all the other
right.
state reps and
right. That's exactly
who are looking
right.
for their money.
And so an awful lot of that money, way too much of that money, went to the MBTA.
Why do you say way too much?
Because of the $787 million went to transportation,
mm-hmm.
and $500 million of that went to the MBTA.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So what about our public transportation in the Berkshires?
That's
We've
right.
been talking
that's,
about that.
That's it's. It, we need to be investing in the Berkshire RTA. Regional Transit Authority, you know, our B buses, as that's what I call them.
Yeah,
I was growing up the B buses.
So what's the barrier then, to getting that money here?
It's raising our voices in the Berkshires and Western Mass to say we need to have our fair share.
So,
and it's very difficult work, Ellen.
So if I'm listening today at home and I'm dependent on the bus and public transportation and would like to be more dependent, what can I as one person do? Because I think a lot of us get overwhelmed and say, I don't know, what do I do?
I'd call the governor's office and say, I think Western Mass deserves its fair share.
Tricia sent me.
And you can tell her, Tricia sent me. She's used to hearing from me about it. Sometimes, Ellen, I feel like I'm a professional, like, foot stomper or something like that. I'm crossing my arms. I'm stomping my foot. I'm saying, what about us? And, you know, the MBTA was in big trouble. Like, it really was in crisis. And I understand a crisis and you have to address that. But we cannot continue to allow this to happen. And so we've been building a coalition of Western Mass reps to say we really need to stand together.
Yeah. So we got transportation. Yeah. How about roads?
So
this
roads is
going
to go.
Of year. It's
that's
all
right.
On
Everybody's
our minds.
Going. So the Chapter 90 money is specifically for roads. So that goes to the city of Pittsfield. Our Chapter 90 money. We're increasing it by 50%. Now the rest of the county will be happy to hear that extra. So it's usually $200 million. This year the proposal is $100 million. That third $100 million is money based on road miles alone, which is really good. So,
we get a lot of roads, a lot of miles out.
So
here.
Especially, so Pittsfield comes out even in the regular Chapter 90, the traditional Chapter 90 formula. But the small towns around here get totally ripped off because it's not just based on road miles. It's based on population and number of people employed.
Okay.
And so these small towns, they've got plenty of road miles, right? But they don't have the people. And so it was very, very harmful to those towns. And so we've been working to, Smitty Pignatelli worked for years to redo that formula. And so this year there's been a compromise to say the first $200 million is going to go through the regular formula. The third $100 million is going to be road miles only. And I think that is going to help these towns. Pittsfield, again, we come out about even.
Yeah. So road condition has nothing to do in it. You know, when I've almost broken my axle on Route 7 somewhere, that doesn't matter.
No. Now, if it is a state route, that's a different story.
Ah.
Because the state is the state. Remember, the state's all of us.
Yeah.
That is not money for the same as Elm Street.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It's not the city of Pittsfield that would be doing that.
Yeah.
So, for example, South Street, you know, people should be paying attention. There's going to be a big project happening on South Street soon. And that's going to be run all by through the state Department of Transportation.
Okay.
So that's that.
So transportation.
Elder care is a big, you know, thing that we care about, and we're not sure what's going to happen with that. We just don't know. I will tell you, one of the things I'm very concerned in this budget is the Department of Mental Health is losing about half its caseworkers.
Half.
And, you know, it's my understanding that we have about 5 in Berkshire County.
Okay.
And they cover all of Berkshire County. Now, who are these caseworkers? They work with adults who have very significant mental health needs. Mm-hmm. And without these caseworkers and helping them navigate the system and making sure they have what they need, they very well could end up institutionalized, which, you know, of course, if you're only looking at this when it comes to dollars and cents, it doesn't make any sense not to invest in these caseworkers. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. So where does that fall in the state's priorities? Because, again, that's the federal piece, but it's up to you all in the legislature.
The governor proposed, you know, making this cut of about half of.
This is state.
And so we've got, and because of, you know, all the different funding issues, and, you know, I disagree.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's something I'm fighting very hard for to be able to.
So what institutions would these people go to?
That's a great question. You know, there are hospitals. The hospitals are full.
Yeah.
Mental health hospitals are full. So I'm very concerned about this. And I, you know, doing my best to fight that. And hopefully by the end of next week, we'll have some good news on that on that front.
Yeah. Let's switch to immigration.
Okay.
This is a topic that all of us have seen with our own eyes of what's going on. Tell me first informationally, who can be here? Who's allowed to be in the United States?
Oh, my. Okay, so there's a lot of different, there's a lot of, we call it status. Like, what is your status? So there are people who are here on student visas. There are people who are here on different kind of work visas. So, for example, the hospital or a doctor's practice could be sponsoring an individual to come and work here. And so they're sponsored by that organization, and they're here for, you know, a few years, up to several years. And then when you're here, you could, you know, apply and change your status. That could happen. There are people who have come here and have come here because a family member is here. So there's people, literally their profession is knowing all these statuses.
Right, it's pretty
complicated. And then there are people who are here that, I mean, most people come with status, to be honest, and then they quote unquote fall out of status.
So there's, it's a lot more nuanced than we're reading, that either someone belongs here or doesn't belong here.
That's right. And then, you know, of course, what's, people have a lot of feelings about that, and people have had feelings about that since
for
this country
time.
Began, right? But it is, what's different now is that it appears not to matter what your status is. People are being swept up.
So what's the state role in this?
Very little. We have very little control over this. And that part, of course, is frustrating. It's, you know, so we can... we have policies in place, and this is based on a court decision, okay? Well, it's often referred to as the Lund decision, that says that local and state authorities cannot be compelled and should not be ICE agents. Like, we are not the federal...
So we don't assist.
Right, we don't assist with that. And so when local authorities are saying, you know, I'm not the one knocking down a door and going in and, you know, picking people up. They're following Massachusetts law.
Right.
There's a little exception to this that has big consequences. And that is that people can, it's really sheriffs that are doing this. There is a sheriff from Plymouth County who has something called a 287G agreement. I just have to remember those numbers, 287G agreement. And it's an agreement with the federal government that says that I have trained my people to do this.
Right.
And you, the federal government, will pay us to hold an individual. Okay? So in Plymouth County, there is a facility next to their House of Correction that they hold people held by ICE. And so people might hear out there, oh, they're being held in Plymouth.
Okay, and that's
why. And that's what that means, is that that sheriff has an agreement to do that.
Can the state intervene in any way?
Well, funny you should ask, Ellen. So there's several of us in the legislature that are working to say, you know, you cannot have an agreement, like passing a law in Massachusetts that, you know, anybody in Massachusetts cannot enter into a 287G agreement. There's others that say, well, instead of saying you can't, what if we say you can't use any state resources to do it? And so that it's like a way of like doing it without saying it exactly like that. And so that is some of the work that we're trying to do to be able to say we're not going to do this. Because what happens is, like, now Worcester Sheriff is working on coming up with
a 287.
And so...
Is it just a way for them to get some funds? Is that what the deal is?
Yes. But, you know, it's a perverse way to get funds, you know. And if they have an they only get the money if somebody is in that cell that night.
Yeah.
And so now there's incentives to put people in the cells, and we don't want that.
Yeah.
So that is something. Now, again, that is not keeping people. That's not keeping ICE from coming into the county. That's not keeping people from being picked up. The state, you know, cannot do that. The state, however, in our budget, we have funds to help people have representation legal representation, because that's what's really needed right now is for people to have legal representation.
So where do they go for that? Is that functional now?
And so, like, in Berkshire County, there is the Berkshire Immigrant Center.
Okay.
And they are funded parts, you know, they don't get a lot. So I don't want you to think there's big money coming to the Berkshire Immigrant Center. But they do get some of those funds that are out there for that. And that's a big effort that it's relatively new that we are funding this.
Yeah.
But we see how important it is for people to have representation, because one of the things that's the most troubling is the lack of due process, the ignoring of due process, you know?
Summer's coming. We're a rural county. Have you heard from farmers? Have you heard from businesses in terms of the impact they're anticipating for what might happen this summer if there are less workers?
So they're very concerned. And I will tell you that when I talk to a local business owner, they, you know, they don't have strong feelings about immigration, like as a big topic. They just say, listen, these are the guys that come in every day. They get the work done that we ask them to do. They're not complaining. And I don't know what, for example, my kitchen would be if I didn't have this. I don't know what my crew would look like if I didn't have this. And this seems to be a complete waste to be doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're not really political people. They just want good workers, you know. I will tell you, so years ago, Ellen, I had a bill I worked on for many years about driver's licenses, that immigrants could get driver's licenses.
I recall.
And I didn't expect this, but interesting partners with this were farmers. Farmers were saying, listen, you know, I have fields over, you know, here, and then 7 miles down the road, I have another field, and they're driving my tractors on my field, but they can't be on the road, you know, to go from one place to the other. And it's a problem. Like, of course they should have driver's licenses.
Right.
So there's definite concern about the workforce when it comes to this. And, you know, this is true just on the Cape, too. The Cape is so dependent on tourism. And, you know, they've been having difficulty with their visas.
For
and
years.
They're very, very, very concerned.
Yeah. So can we expect farm prices to rise here?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like, Ellen. I mean, I guess, you know, we're all going to see when we're at the store, we're at the farmer's market. Are farmers going to have to, you know, maybe plant one less field this year? Or, you know, how are they going to respond? I don't know. Again, you know, farmers don't decide in April what they're going to plant, right? They've decided that in September, October, what they were going to plant, right?
Yeah.
And so there's so many businesses that are in so much trouble right now.
So a lot of people feel helpless. So what can allies do if you're a person that may not have an immigration status issue, but you are either witnessing something or you care about your neighbors or you care about businesses in your community? What can people do?
So I had some office hours a couple of weeks ago, and I had someone from the Berkshire Immigrant Center come on to answer these exact questions. And he talked about first, you know, to help immigrants, just like in general.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to help immigrants. One, you know, be a volunteer tutor. For example, for LitNet, which is based at the Lee Library, or the Literacy Volunteers of Berkshire County, which is based at the Berkshire Athenaeum here in Pittsfield. There's an organization called VIM, Volunteers in Medicine. They work a lot with immigrants. And so driving people to doctor's appointments is something that, that can be helpful. And they have a lot of different ways to be helpful. There's also an organization called BASIC. And BASIC stands for, I had to write this down because I never remember these. Okay, Berkshire Alliance to Support the Immigrant Community, BASIC. And they've got a really good website, BasicBerkshires.org. And there's a lot of different ways to help through them, too.
Well, what if you're witnessing an action?
Yeah.
What if you're seeing people, and I've seen press reports of people without identification in unmarked cars pulling people off streets and you're walking by. What can you do as a citizen?
I think the best thing you can do is bear witness, right? And so in 2025, usually that means pulling out your phone.
Yeah.
Right? And that is completely legal to record an encounter like that. And if you have, there's some Know Your Rights training.
And hold that thought.
Okay.
Because we're going to take a little bit of a break.
Sure.
And then we're going to be back to talk a little bit more about immigration. And I'm also fascinated by your election security bills.
Okay.
So we'll be right back with more Morning Drive.
Sure.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs. Eatsa Pizza is back. Join PCTV and WTBR for the biggest and tastiest pizza event around, May 15th at Berkshire Hills Country Club on Benedict Road in Pittsfield. Enjoy pizza from KJ Nosh Catering, Porta Via Italian Eatery, and much more. And you get to decide who will win the People's Choice Award. Eatsa Pizza at Berkshire Hills Country Club on May 15th. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for children 12 and under in advance. Get your tickets now at pittsfieldtv.org/pizza. Support for Eatsa Pizza comes from Cohen, Kinney, Valicenti, and Cook.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
This is Jack Brown, the Artistic Director of Berkshire Lyric. Berkshire Lyric Chorus will be presenting a concert of major choral works by Haydn, Beethoven, and Mozart on Sunday, June 1st at the amazing Sagio's Owl Hall at Tanglewood. The 3 o'clock concert will include the 100-voice Berkshire Lyric Chorus, joined by a professional orchestra and world-class vocal soloists. The major work on this June 1st concert is Haydn's joyous masterpiece, The Seasons. For more information and to purchase tickets, please visit the Berkshire Lyric website, berkshirelyric.org. Hope to see you there on June 1st.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And good morning to you. I'm Ellen Speer here in the studio with our 2nd District Representative, Tricia Farley-Bouvier. We've been having a wide-ranging discussion on what's happening nationally and what that means locally. We were, before the break, talking a little bit about immigration and what each of us can do. And, Tricia, you were saying we can bear witness.
Yes. And so, like as I said before, bearing witness often these days involves, just staying present. Is a good thing.
Yeah,
you see something happening, you're driving by, stop, stay there. But record it. It's totally legal to record.
And if somebody challenges you about your phone, you can say no?
You can say, it's legal for me to record this.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't get in the officer's face.
No.
But to stand back and record something, it's okay. The other thing is, if you know the rights, right, so there's Know Your Rights training that you can do, then you can just say those words out loud. For example, An ICE officer does not have a right to take somebody unless they have a judicial warrant.
Signed piece of paper.
Piece of paper. Now, they could have a signed piece of paper, but if it's not signed by a judge, it doesn't count. They can't just, like, make something up that they, you know, typed up in their office. You know what I mean? They have to have it signed by a judge. And you could say, he needs a judicial warrant to take you away. You know, you could ask him for the judicial warrant. That's something, those kinds of things you can say out loud. You do not have to talk. Right. You can remain silent. You have the right to remain silent.
And you don't have to let anybody in your door.
And you do not have to let anybody in your door. You do not have to let anybody in your door. And there's also something called red cards that you can get that have those rights on it. And that's something that, you know, people can get. If you went to the basic website, there is links to that. And they have them in different languages so that people can know their rights. And then they can give something to the officer that says, I am choosing to exercise my right to remain silent. So that those things are important. Can you, as an individual, stop somebody, you know, is it a good idea to, you know, intervene? It really is not.
Okay.
You're not helping that person. Okay. And you're putting yourself, you know, into danger.
Okay.
But for that, so a lot of people are talking about, you can't call it an arrest. It was a snatching. It was a disappearing of a student, a tough student.
Right.
On the streets of Somerville. They did not have a judicial warrant. They did not. They didn't even identify themselves.
Right.
Like they were when they were masked and they went and they put her into an unmarked van. So if, while you're recording, you can say that. Listen, there's no identification here. There's, you know, all, that recording made a big difference.
Yeah.
And this is why this case is getting such such attention. And she is much safer because that is happening.
And that's why it's important to witness, as you're saying. Let's shift a little bit.
Sure.
I've been fascinated by the work that you've been doing with bills related to election security. You want to talk a little bit about cybersecurity for
cybersecurity.
Voting?
Yeah. So I am the House Chair of the Advanced Information Technology, Internet, and Cybersecurity Committee. Wow, that's a mouthful, right? So we call ourselves ATIC for fun.
I like that.
So when it comes to elections, what we are concerned about deep fakes in elections.
Now, what do you mean when you say
deep fakes? So a deep fake, a classic one, real life, happened in 2024 primary in New Hampshire, where, quote unquote, Joe Biden called Democrats on election day or the day before to say, don't fall for the dirty tricks of the Republicans. You need to save your vote for November. And it sounded exactly like him. And, you know, of course, a lot of people were like, well, the president says I'm not supposed to vote, so I'm not going to vote. And it absolutely suppressed voting in New Hampshire. So audio deepfake is very easy to do. Video deepfake is getting easier and easier to do. And people can just do it like a regular person on a laptop. You don't have to be a high tech person to be able to do these things. And so there's no law against it because nobody thought of it when they were writing the previous laws. So we're working on doing that. The other thing is when it comes to cybersecurity in our elections, it's incredibly important to make sure that our elections are secure in that way.
So what would your law that you've proposed do?
So the laws are about making sure that we have the systems in place and that, like, the Secretary of State is in charge of all of our city and town clerks and making sure that they have the infrastructure that they need to make sure that our voting machines are safe, right?
Okay.
And I will tell you, people have been around Pittsfield for a long time. Yeah. When we went from those voting booths that we used to have that you pulled the lever,
right?
Do you remember that?
I like those, actually.
They were kind of cool, right? You had to, like, pull that lever to close the curtain,
nice.
Right?
Made you know, me feel like a grown-up.
Yeah, our Secretary of State was one of the few who said, when we are going to electronic voting, we have to have a paper copy.
Uh-huh.
There has to be a paper ballot.
Some
you know, we're not going to just do it on like an ATM screen type of thing. And other states didn't do that. And they got into trouble quickly. And so we have a paper ballot. And people of Pittsfield know how many recounts we have had.
Right.
Well, you can't do the recount unless you have the paper ballot to count.
Right.
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 And so but we also don't want our elections happening in the cloud where they can be broken into, right?
Okay.
They're done on these machines, yes, but those machines are not connected to the cloud.
Well, your initiative is statewide. Talk about Berkshire County for a minute. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is nothing could ever happen, and 1 is they're a mess. Where is the security of our elections?
I think our security is excellent here because we have the systems in place. And, we, you know, the state gives money to local cities and towns to be able to have, you know, the security of it. I would never say nothing could happen here. Of course, we're concerned about, you know, what could happen. And we always have to be because there's always new ways to do things.
Yeah.
But, you know, keeping, you know, following good, you know, we call it cyber hygiene.
Right.
Following good cyber hygiene is incredibly important. But, Ellen, now I'm going to change subjects within the committee because what I'm spending the most of my time on the committee is comprehensive data privacy. And that's something we should all be really, really worried about.
So what does that really mean? I mean, we talk about it, but every time you go online, you've got to put your phone number in. Mm-hmm. You've got to put all your information in.
Yeah.
You assume it's okay.
Yeah.
Anything you want to buy, anything you want to transact.
Yeah. Right.
It's very difficult sometimes to know who you're doing what with.
Right.
So
that's more of a cybersecurity thing. The data privacy thing is so... I'm just trying to think of some things you might have done online today. You know, might have did some shopping today, right?
Okay.
And so people, they do shopping and maybe they bought some shoes or they bought some cleaning material or they're looking at paint colors or all these things. And these companies are scooping up all this data, right? They're hoovering it up, as I say. And what they can do is they're painting a picture of you, the individual, and then they sell you to other companies to say, this is what she's interested in. Did you know she's doing home repair? She's already done the basement and she's now looking, you know, to do deck things or something like that.
So that's when you start getting all of those ads.
Right. Okay. And so, you know, some of that stuff, you know, it's maybe like free trade and you don't want to like, you know, be the nanny state, but some of it isn't okay. Right. So, for health information.
Right.
Now, we like to think health information is covered by HIPAA, right?
Right, like our portal here at Berkshire Health Systems, things like
that. Right, and so the portal at Berkshire Health System is safe unless there's a cybersecurity attack. That's a different thing. There's a breach, right? But that information is not the same as all of your health information. So, for example, the HIPAA, everyone talks about HIPAA, and we think you're safe.
That's the privacy, the acronym for assuring privacy of all of your medical
Except
information.
Except that insurance word, Health Insurance Privacy Protection Act, it's things covered by insurance.
Ah.
So there's a lot of things we do with our health that are not covered by insurance, right? So, for example, if you're a diabetic, you would think, well, other people don't know I'm a diabetic except for my doctor. And, you know, well, yeah, your doctor's appointment might be not covered by that. Your insulin is prescribed, but are those test strips prescribed? Are the candy that you buy, you know, the glucose tablets that you buy, they're not covered by insurance. So all that stuff is out there for them to swoop up that information, and they know that you are diabetic, right? If you get, you know, medicine for hair loss, if you... you know, are a young woman and are buying menstrual products, okay, and now you're not. They know that you're pregnant.
Or something.
Right?
And so what's the harm? That's what I want to get at is, so they want to sell me some stuff. Mm-hmm. So what? What's the harm in
so
that?
So right now there's a law in Texas that, you know, they're very, very restrictive when it comes to abortion. And there are people who, there's a law in Texas that says that if you give us information about somebody who is planning for helping somebody who has gotten an abortion, we will give you $10,000.
Oh, right. The bounty.
The bounty hunters, right? And so the bounty hunters does not take much to get that data and find out, you know, who was pregnant, then who traveled to Massachusetts, and then where did they go?
Okay.
And so
And that would be turned over to law enforcement then?
It could be then turned over to law enforcement.
I see.
And so comprehensive data privacy bill that I'm working very hard on would, one, say companies can only collect the data they need to do the thing they're actually doing.
Okay.
Right? And so if you have a weather app on your phone, your weather app is not there to give you weather, by the way. It's there to collect a whole bunch of data on you, especially your location. Uh-huh. Right? And so it collect the stuff they need to collect on it, and then certain information would be considered sensitive. Anything about children, anything about your health, and specifically your location, and that cannot be bought, sold, or transferred.
I see.
And so those are the kinds of things that we're working on we are so far behind on this, Ellen. 10, 12 years ago, we should have passed a bill like this.
Well, I thought we're like the tech capital. We're tech kids.
Yeah, no.
What is it?
But we have not centered the consumer on this.
Why is it? Because it's so hard to understand, or what?
It is hard to understand. I have to tell you, I didn't know very much about this until I got this, committee assignment, and I've been, doing this for 2 years, pretty much data privacy. It is difficult to understand. Then it's difficult to prioritize. And so, we're really working to get this to be a priority of leadership in the House and the Senate.
Got it. The other thing that I'm so impressed always when I look at the work that you're doing is you concentrate a lot on the basic needs for those with the least voice. And in the current climate, those folks seem even more at risk than ever before. What are some of the, if you have one thing in the legislature this year that you'd like to see passed in that basic needs, people with no voice category, what would you like to see the state legislature do that will benefit Berkshire County and Pittsfield the most?
Well, it's kind of complicated, Ellen, but
it always is complicated.
There is a piece of legislation, and it's a topic nobody wants to talk about.
Why? Okay?
It makes people uncomfortable.
Why?
Are you ready to squirm a little bit? So it is around.
It is morning.
It is,
it is before 9 o'clock.
Okay. It is for people, mostly women, sometimes girls, who have been trafficked.
Ah, okay.
And so working to give opportunities for people to get out of that life.
Right.
And it is a very difficult topic to talk about because people like to say, well, they're a criminal. That's a crime to do that. So, if you have prostituted yourself, then, that's a crime and you deserve punishment. I consider those individuals who have been trafficked to be victims. And I think they should be treated as victims, and we should get them the services that they need so that they can make the choice to get out of their life.
How large a problem is that in Berkshire County?
It is a problem in Berkshire County. And, there's actually a woman who has started a program here specifically for children who are survivors of trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so because of where Pittsfield and Berkshire County is, at sort of the crossroads of Albany and Springfield and New York and Boston and Hartford and all that,
right.
Just like we, if you remember when the Colonial, was, coming back to life, and we talked about how all these stars would come to the Colonial because it was at the crossroads. When the drug trade, Pittsfield, Berkshire County's at the crossroads, and when it comes to human trafficking, Pittsfield, Berkshire County's at the crossroads, and it becomes a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know that's not a happy topic, but when you ask for people who don't have a voice, this is a group of people who don't have a voice.
What about food insecurity?
So food insecurity is something that I work especially to get funding for. I'm more and more concerned. People keep having less and less. Our food pantry shelves, continue to be really scarce. The truck arrives, and just a few days later, those shelves are empty. And so, we as a community need to step up. And part of this community is state dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you affect those from this bill that we talked about earlier in the hour?
So this will be something that we do with the state budget. One of the programs I really like is called the Healthy Incentive Program, and that is a program that gives dollars to farmers markets so that somebody who's on SNAP benefits can double. So if you a dollar that you would use at the grocery store to buy food, you can use it's worth $2 at the farmers market. That has helped families in Pittsfield an enormous amount. It's very, very active in the Pittsfield farmers market. And what's also cool is it helps the farmers. The farmers right. have, we talked about knowing you can plant an extra field right. because they have this, they know this income is coming.
Yeah. I thought those dollars were going to be cut on their federal level.
We are very concerned. There was another program that was giving, that was money directly to farmers to grow food for local schools. And that was cut. You know, which that was over $12 million to Massachusetts farmers.
Yeah. So you've been in the legislature now for a little
13
bit.
13 years, Ellen!
Since that day that you dragged me and my neighborhood to go canvassing door-to-door with you.
It's been 13 years.
Why is it so hard to, why are people so disconnected? I mean, all the things that we're talking about really are people knowing who lives next door or across the street and caring what's happening to them. And Berkshire County is different. I mean, we all say that, but it's true.
Yeah.
So what's happening here that we're maybe a little less cognizant of what's happening across the street or next door?
Well, so I think there's a lot of things to this. One, I do think we're less connected because, you know, we're all on our devices all the time. I was just telling somebody, you know, there was a time that everybody was waiting for we'd watch a show together.
Right.
And then, you know, we're all talking about what's going to happen next and everything. Now nobody watches shows like that anymore. So just that one little thing. Right. So that happens. I think that people feel really jaded and I think people are exhausted. Right. Like, I feel like no matter what I do, it's not making a difference.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to this national
stuff,
politics. Yeah. And when people are exhausted, they're like, I have to take a break. I have to take a break. And you know what, Ellen? I agree. Take the break. I take a break sometimes. I'm exhausted. I take a break. But then just once you take that break, come back.
Mm-hmm.
And in this climate, this is a really scary time for this country. This is a really scary, scary time for this country. Nobody can do everything, and we shouldn't expect anybody to do everything. But everybody has to do something. And what is it that you're going to do to help save this country? That's how urgent this matter is. Some people, they call once a week to their members of the Congress. Some people call every day, writing letters to the editor, writing letters to them, donating to organizations like ACLU of Massachusetts, to the Berkshire Immigrant Center, to volunteers in medicine. There's two food pantries. Bring food to a food pantry. Volunteer at the food pantry. You can do something just community-based. You can do something that, you know, pushes, you know, the national conversation. It doesn't matter what you do, but everybody has to do something.
Yeah. What about civics education? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to sit through the film strip of How a Bill Becomes a Law with the weird little music.
Yeah.
And they don't teach civics anymore or how government works.
Yeah.
Is there something that the concerns
you? So actually, Massachusetts
you?
Has a law now that civics is required. That's a pretty recent law within the last 5 years.
Yes. How is civics defined in that?
Yeah, so there are standards, Massachusetts standards.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you that it includes that they have to reach out to elected official because sometime around May, I start getting, you know, high school sophomores or juniors starting to send me emails about different topics and
they
things like that.
They want to visit you, do they?
Yeah, and they'll say, I'm concerned about, and then they talk about what they're concerned about. So it teaches them how to advocate, which, of course, is a really important skill.
Yeah.
So civics education, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, of course, so many of these things are bipartisan.
Yes.
Right? Like, there's no partisan thing about whether teaching civics is a good thing or not.
I've always wanted to know, too, is it always seems when I go to vote that it's elders who are staked out at the polls helping us get in and out. Are there ways it could be more friendly for people of all ages to be able to participate, like Election Day being a day, state holiday, something like that?
Right. So state holiday is a very interesting idea,
and
it has been
talked
about, because what would that look like? Because companies will say, well, how many holidays are we supposed to have? You know, that is a thing. I will say that it was pretty sure it was during COVID that our Pittsfield city clerk partnered high school students with the, you know, as you said, tend to be seniors who work at the polls.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a terrific idea,
you
know, that they were working the polls like that.
Yeah, yeah. So what are some hopeful things that you see? We've been talking about, we all know the problems and we all have that sense of exhaustion and we don't know. And I think not knowing is one of the most difficult things for people. So what are some things in the county that, and particularly in Pittsfield, that you think are going right, where the state has helped and it's really making a difference here, and you'd like to kind of feed to continue?
And so we've been working, you know, for several years now on addressing the housing crisis in Massachusetts, in Berkshire County, and in Pittsfield. And so we are seeing really the fruits of our labor right now. If you drive around Pittsfield on West Housatonic Street, you will see new construction. It's going up so fast, Ellen. It's,
yeah,
you know, when,
yeah,
when you
see
all the work being, like, groundwork getting done, and then when they really start to build it, it's going up really fast. That is going to be 28 units, single resident units, similar to the units at Soldier On, public permanent supportive housing.
Yeah.
What's happening over at Zion Church? You know, again, more units of single resident occupancy, plus in the basement level, the homeless resource center. You go down North Street to White Terrace.
Right.
Now, that is more of a private development, but with a lot of state help. With, is it about 47 units there? Again, terrific expanding housing. Then, you know, where Candlepin was and, you know, Jim House's shoes, that project is, you know, going gangbusters. Again, more housing. The mayor's working on Hibbard School, turn that into housing, like we have done in, with so many of our old elementary schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be more on the way. And so the how the state has responded is responding to the housing price crisis, how both Mayor Linda Tyer and Mayor Pete Marchetti have been addressing the housing crisis here in Pittsfield, it is making a really big difference. And people are taking notice. What I hear from developers are, it's good to do projects in Pittsfield. It's good to do projects in Massachusetts. And so then they're more interested in
doing that. Yeah, that's the kind of word of mouth you have to start, isn't it? And what do you think was the lever that changed everything to make it easy?
So there's money. That's one thing. And, you know, the governor took on something. You know, this is record amount of money in the housing bond bill that we did last year. Just, you know, we've never done anything like it. Having an there's now a secretary of housing as opposed to sharing it with economic development. And then that secretary, Ed Augustus, he's been really terrific. He's really dug in. And one of the commissions he led was reducing barriers to housing production. And so they really looked very methodically on what it is that was making it harder to do it.
And what was it?
Oh, there's many things. There's a list of, you know, 47 things or something that you know, can we smooth this out? Can we, you know, make this process simpler?
Yeah. Is NIMBY, the not in mine backyard, getting any easier as people see that all of their fears are not coming to fruition?
No. I wouldn't say that is easier. But, like, I would say, like, we have something called ADUs, right? Accessory dwelling units. Now, these are going to be by right in every community in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that kind of local, local ordinance, which is a form of NIMBYism, right? It would not get in the way of that. And I think that that could be a helpful thing for Berkshire County and for Pittsfield.
Right.
You know?
Well, we're coming to the end of our time here. If
goes
folks,
really fast.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
If folks would like to get in touch with you, if they have concerns, if they have things that they'd like to talk about, if they'd like to pat you on the back, what do they need to do?
Yes, easy to do that. I have a new office, which office space is in the Frameworks space where downtown Pittsfield is on North Street with my new local aide, Mirabai Dyson. You can call the office at 413-442-4300, or you can reach out to me via email, which is trisha.farley-bouvier@mahouse.gov. And I'm always really happy to hear from folks.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you. Second District Representative Trisha Farley Bouvier, working hard for us in Boston. Thank you so much. And thanks to you for being with us this morning on Morning Drive at Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody.
Day.
Bye.